Radio Harmony Cornuai. Join me, Clark 80, every Wednesday at 10:15 a.m. or at 18:15 on Saturdays to hear interesting interviews with some fascinating people. And remember, things always go better with a little harmony in your life. I am speaking today with Laureen Cook, a pioneer and executive in the telecom, media, and technology industry. Laureen has been involved as an executive and consultant for a veritable long list of great companies, including Deutsche Telekom in Germany, Cable and Wireless in the UK, and 9X in the United States, which is now Verizon. She recently served as an advisor in this space for a division of the World Bank, and now heads her own advisory company, Extelcon. Laureen is speaking to me today from Maryland, in the United States.
Aujourd'hui, Clark s'entretient avec Laureen Cook, pionnière et dirigeante du secteur des télécommunications, des médias et de la technologie. Laureen a travaillé en tant que cadre et consultante pour de nombreuses grandes entreprises, dont Deutsche Telekom en Allemagne, Cable et Wireless au Royaume-Uni et 9X, aujourd'hui Verizon, aux États-Unis. Elle a récemment été conseillère dans ce domaine pour une division de la Banque mondiale et dirige aujourd'hui sa propre société de conseil, Extelcon. Laureen est basée dans le Maryland, aux États-Unis.
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark 80. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Good morning, everybody. I usually give a brief introduction to guests who come on to L'Invité de Clark, but I'll deviate a bit from that today and borrow a few sentences from Laureen Cook's CV to help you understand what a talented and impressive person she is and has been in the telecom, media, and technology industries. I'm happy to have Laureen with me today, and she'll be patient while I read all of her accolades, or a few anyway, so you know exactly what she does. She's the CEO right now of Extelcon Consulting and an alumni of the IFC World Bank, which I find very interesting. And she was formerly the principal telecom, media, and technology, commonly known as TMT advisor in several fields. As a senior member at the World Bank's TMT private equity venture capital team, she was responsible for the technical, commercial, and financial evaluation of companies for investment, including business development, due diligence, and the portfolio oversight of companies from concept through to exit. That's really something, I must say. Prior to joining IFC, Laureen was with Alcatel-Lucent, now Nokia, as Vice President 4G LTE Strategy and Innovation. And very interestingly, she's the founding director of the Global Telecommunications Women's Network, which connects and mentors C-suite level women in the TMT industry. And I'll conclude by telling you that as an industry veteran with 25 plus years of digital infrastructure experience, she's held executive and board of director roles with the world's leading operators around telecom. So that's a lot, but I really think it gives a full perspective of exactly what you're doing. Now, some of those things are going to be a little foreign to us, but what I really like to do is, before we start, I have to ask you how you catch your breath after all that. It's amazing.
That's a very kind intro. I appreciate that. You know, the telecoms industry is just filled with its own language. I mean, we have abbreviated everything because every type of technology we work with, you know, is at least, I would say, 3 or 4 words long. So everything has been condensed. So please stop me if I just ramble on with an acronym that may not be familiar.
Yes, well, it's certainly true, but I can see why. There's so much that consists in each one of these fields. You and I spoke about Africa privately before the show, and I'd like to get back to that. But can you tell me a little bit about how you got started, some of your personal background? Where are you from originally?
Well, I'm born in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. But I'm raised in Rockland County, New York, which is about 20 miles north of New York City. So I'm a native New Yorker through and through. It's kind of interesting going to school at that time, which was in the late 70s, early 80s for university. You know, telecoms was a utility. It was nothing more than a utility at that point in time. And by the time I graduated with my bachelor of science degree in business in 1983, we began to see the advent of wireless telecommunications. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I'm interested in technology. I didn't like coding of computers because we were actually learning coding back then. But I thought, hey, this telecom stuff sounds really interesting. I think I'll do that. And I guess I was right.
Yes, you were right. Is that when you talked about some of that early computing, were they still doing punch cards and things like that? Or how far are they?
Well, we weren't doing punch cards back then, but we were definitely coding. Definitely coding in the early days. So, no, I knew that was definitely not for me. No, that was a major turnoff. But this concept of wireless communications, and that was pure luck, quite frankly. I happened to graduate at the right time. And my first job out of university was working for a company called Oki Telecom, which actually manufactured the first AMPS technology mobile phones for Bell Labs, which was quite something. And then from there, I ended up going over to 9X, what became 9X Mobile at the breakup of AT&T in 1983. There were seven baby bells, of which in the Northeast was 9X. And I ended up working with 9X Mobile and getting the company up and running. I think I was employee number 50. So literally started, happened to step in at the right time. And I learned so much by working at the phone company, Ma Bell. It was and still is an excellent place to get your feet into the industry. And it's up to you where you want to go from there. The world is literally your oyster.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bell Labs has a great reputation and so many things have come out of that over the years I've been reading about. I remember that 1983, I think, was it MCI that started that breakup of AT&T or was the one that sort of spearheaded that probably a court battle back in the day because AT&T was certainly a utility.
Well, AT&T was a utility, but it was actually the Justice Department that decided that there was monopoly. And the way to deal with that, it was Judge Green, actually. And it was February something of 1983 when we were actually broken up into seven Baby Bells plus Bell Labs. Yes. And for the Northeast, it was 9X, New York, New England Telephone. We had Pacific Tel out in California and Southwest Bell down in Texas. And
Northwestern Bell, where I grew up. Yeah, I remember that. Sure. Well, you know, I go back in my business days to using the Telex. And
I remember that.
You do? I do too. And a few frustrations with it. But one day somebody came to me and said, you really ought to look at this machine. And I said, sure. What is it? It's called a facsimile machine.
Mm-hmm.
You can send this facsimile document any place that has another machine, basically. And I was in international business at the time and I had a lot of dealing with the UK. And they didn't know about it yet, the company I dealt with. And I called them up and I said, get one of these machines. And we did it, and it was like a miracle. I mean, we just stood there and gaped at it, you know, after having done the telex. And that must have been, I suppose, about the same time, maybe mid-1980s. Would that be?
Mm-hmm.
That's all in the wireless. Would you consider all that to be in the wireless realm?
It's the forefront, absolutely the forefront. I mean, the spectrum issues pretty much dictate what's wireless and what's not. That's actually a landline application. It's still the fact that you could move a piece of paper from one continent to the other and have it be reproduced identically on the other side of the pond is quite something. Absolutely quite something.
Such a time saver. So it's, it has changed the nature of our business quite a bit.
For sure.
I'm interviewing Loreen Cook, pioneer in the telecom industry and advisor to the World Bank.
One of the things that you've got on your resume, which fascinates me, is this whole idea of the World Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe people would like to have a little bit more detail about what the World Bank really is, who funds it, and if they have a mission in particular, because it's obviously part of what you do.
Absolutely. And working for, well, full disclosure, I am an IFC World Bank retiree.
Okay.
I work for the IFC, which is the International Financial Corp, which I'll explain in a minute, which is the private equity arm of the World Bank, for 7 years. And then post-COVID, they've invited me back to help them with some of their backlog and more strategic, challenging projects. So I'm working for them as, I'm back working for them as an advisor, as I have my own consulting company, and that's what I do. Yeah. So I love working with my old team, which is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit about the World Bank. So the World Bank was founded in 1944. It was born out of the Bretton Woods Conference in New Hampshire as the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Also during the Bretton Woods Conference, the IMF was born at the same time, as a little aside. The International Monetary Fund, sorry. Again, acronyms, so sorry. So the conference was meant to create the framework for international economic cooperation and reconstruction of Europe after World War II. Now, over the years, that has changed. Originally, there were 38 member countries providing financing to other governments, again, post-World War II, to try to rebuild various countries from World War II. The World Bank had 38 member countries originally. It now has circa about 188, 190 member countries worldwide. Its focus was, as I said, originally reconstruction of Europe, which over the years has now changed. So it is primarily focused now on the economic development and poverty reduction in tier two and tier three countries around the world. So lower and mid-tier countries that are lacking infrastructure. The World Bank provides grants and loans, whereas the International Finance Corporation, which is the division that I worked for, is not an NGO. It is a private equity organization. We provide debt, equity, and mezz financing to the private sector, which is the difference between the IFC and the World Bank. Very important difference to stimulate growth and development of various infrastructure models within a country. So things like water, roads, in my particular sector, telecoms, media, technology, and satellite, education, healthcare, hospitality, any kind of major infrastructure where there would be employment opportunities generated for the population, training generated, education generated, so that people become self-sufficient and that these governments eventually rise above the poverty line. So that's the mission of both, but World Bank is grants and loans to governments, IFC is private sector.
Very interesting. Yeah. The funding for the World Bank, the capitalization of the World Bank, where does that come from? Is that individual company or country contributions?
Yes. Yeah, so originally there were 38 countries that helped form the World Bank. There are now about 188, 190 member countries. The original, each country put in X amount of money into the pot, if you would, and that money is used to provide grants and loans for two governments for World Bank. The same structure exists over at the IFC. However, this is really great and really exciting about working at the IFC. The money goes into the pot. You're investing in private sector companies in these countries. We are not an NGO. We do charge interest. We do expect to be repaid. If we take an equity stake, we expect to, you know, that we'll make some money on our exit. But the great thing is all of that money goes back into the pot. So we have more money to invest in the next infrastructure project someplace else in the developing world, which is a self-funding prophecy, which
absolutely.
Is fantastic.
Yeah. So the return is all funneled back in. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
On the World Bank side, is there any collateralization for any of these loans, or how does that work? Do you get repaid basically on some of these things, or is this, I know some of them get extended.
Being a division of the UN, so the World Bank and IFC are companies that belong to the UN, right? So the slight difference with us is that if there are extenuating circumstances in a country, right, political upheaval, climate devastation, we are required to stay in that. We're not going to help bankrupt a company or a country.
Country,
right?
Yeah.
We would then extend that. We would rework the terms and we would extend the terms of the loan to that government on the World Bank side and on the IFC. If there's same thing, if there's political unrest or a major typhoon or whatever, we would be required to rework the financials and stay support.
Can the World Bank refund itself too through interest payments or whatever else they can get as a result of their loans? Or is that something that...
That money goes back into the pot to be invested. Again, it's no one is walking. That's what's so great about this model, because we are helping other countries and companies grow out of poverty by helping themselves. So
you
can teach a man to fish, right? It's the same kind of concept.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, thanks for the explanation, because it's one of those things that you hear about a lot, but you don't always understand how it operates. But I'm happy to hear that. Lorraine, you've been to the Democratic Republic of the Congo lately and several times, I think. Is that correct?
This was my sixth trip, yes, to the DRC. I believe I still hold the record for my former group, the TMT group, for having spent the most amount of time in the DRC.
Well, is that a distinction? All right, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What are the, that would be a tier two or a tier three country?
So DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, should be one of the richest countries in the world because of all the resources within its borders. It's the only country in the world where every element on the periodic table resides within the borders of its country. However, due to various political unrest and change of governments and climate issues as well, it's one of the poorest countries in the world. Its GDP is $684 per capita. Very sad. Very, very sad.
Big population?
Its population, hang on one second. I do have that. Hang on. 99.01 million.
Yeah, it's a
big country, a populous country. So the biggest challenges there would be certainly political, maybe geographic for the
top. Geographic is huge, absolutely. And climate now, because climate flooding is on the rise, right? Mm. Which when the rains come, it can be devastating. Absolutely.
What about culturally? Is the country ready for some of the things that you're talking about, the implementation of some of these things?
Well, I can say, the great thing about telecoms is that necessity breeds the creation of fantastic innovation. If we take a look at mobile money and mobile banking, which is available everywhere in the world right now, that was born in Africa out of the necessity to bank the unbanked, because they were extremely innovative in seeing that we can do this via mobility. This is fantastic. This was not part of the original scope when we were developing mobile communications, but certainly necessity allowed for ingenuity. And now the entire world uses mobile banking and mobile money and transfers funds from here to there. You can transfer money via your mobile to your kids, no matter where they are on their phone. That came out of the necessity of Africa, where there's so much of the population that's just clearly unbanked and undocumented.
Probably the last,
if you would think that something like that would start, it's just amazing, isn't it? Such a useful thing for a population like that.
Not just that population, but the whole world has adopted it, right? It's something you've got kids in college, you just send them money via their mobile app. Not a big deal.
I know about that.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, this is fascinating. Listen, Lorraine, do you mind if we break off this conversation and pick it up for next week? I think we've still got a lot to talk about.
Well, if you'd like, certainly I'll make myself available. I appreciate your interest.
It's very interesting. So thanks, Lorraine Cook, for being with us today. And all of you who are listening to this very interesting conversation, I hope you continue next week. We'll be same time, same station. Next week, we'll have part two of our interview with Lorraine Cook.
Thank you so much.
L'invité de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.